All right. Black and Bougie Podcast, episode 15.
Episode 15.
So excited I made it this far with you, Reggie.
We're recording now?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh, hey, episode 15. I'm happy, too.
Sound check's over, Reggie. It's time for the primetime big leagues.
Woo! So ready. 15 episodes. That's good. That's half of 30.
Yeah, so what point in our podcasting relationship? Is it long-term yet, or like...
I don't want to really... call it something. Why label it?
No, yeah, don't label it. I forgot how young you are. Young kids don't like labels. You know, we read about that.
We're just chilling.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. I mean, we just sometimes
like,
bring
just
someone
like every
in.
Other person is every other guy, every other podcaster is just chilling. No fucking commitment. Of course, this is my fucking life. Can't just find someone to settle down and podcast
just
with me.
We're having fun, Mike.
I fucking hate you.
Just come on.
I'm always like this.
Don't be that way.
So is there anything new in your life, Reggie?
I'm broke as shit.
You're broke as shit?
Yeah.
You're not buying any more anime toys?
I can't anymore. I don't
4K,
have a job.
Reggie. 4K, you know,
have
my
job.
At the heat?
Yeah, I quit my job at the heat.
Without something lined up.
Yeah. It was real. It was 4K, really,
Reggie.
It was real weird how it happened, too. Because I've been really dissatisfied with my with the job because it's just really erratic hours. I couldn't do any stand up.
Yeah,
I was tired. It took up all my nights, and I just hate the customers
so much.
So much.
Why? What's
especially horrible about those customers is that they're sports fans.
Yeah.
But they're sports fans they're sports fans for the Heat.
Yeah.
And they're Miamians, so they're Miami sports fans for the Heat, and that's just a horrible combination.
Why is that a horrible combination?
Because you get a bunch of like old rich people that want everything they want and don't understand anything. They're the worst people.
That was a Vegas explanation ever, but I kind of feel like I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, there's this... Okay, one time... well, this isn't a good example, but one time... Someone at the register didn't help out this guy immediately.
Yeah.
And then he just goes to the other register and he's like, wow, you provided me better customer service than Carla. Just bam, right there, just like that. Other times I've gotten in arguments with like old ladies about how like, see, what you need to do is make the store bigger and bring it back to what it was before. And I'm like, we made the store bigger. And we only had 4 registers when we first started out. And they're like, yeah, no, it was better before. I'm like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
Customer service is the best.
Yeah. And so anyways, I quit my job. I've been dissatisfied for a while. I quit my job one game day where I get in like super late, like an hour late.
Uh-huh.
And then I missed the meeting. And then they told me, oh, Eddie wants to talk with you. I'm like, okay. And I'm just going about my day. I'm a lame duck at that point.
Yeah.
I'm like Bill Clinton after being impeached. You could do anything to me. I don't care. I'm leaving. Or like at least I'm planning to leave.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't really feel it. So then he comes up to me. He's like, is everything all right? You know, you came really late. I need you to set a good example for everybody else. And then I just, you know, he's giving me this and I'm totally getting peanuts where it's like, you know, like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm right there and I'm, just and then
checked out mentally.
And then I look at him and then I say, I don't want to do this anymore. This needs to stop. And then he's like, okay. Is that how you really? Yeah, that's how I really feel, Eddie. I don't want to do this. It's like, any reason why? Just because I don't. That's why. And then he's like, well, thank you for being honest with me. Thank you for being cool. And then that's how I quit my job.
That's a good employee instead of just stewing. It's like a relationship where you're just checked out. It's better instead of just stringing them along.
Yeah.
You know, for the sex, in this case, the money. You just let them go. Yeah, sounds like that guy actually took pride in the Heat store. And you were just shitting on him. So it's good that you clinched up.
Shitting on it. I provided. I gave
you were
good
shitting
money.
On the product that he was trying to create, Reggie. Let's be honest here.
Well, let's be honest. The product. Shit.
I don't know, man. He might make it to the championships.
I bet they will. They will. There's no doubt. I have no doubt.
Yeah, well, it's easy to have no doubt when you know nothing about sports. I was talking to Josh Silverman the other day about how he's like, when you need a sports guy, when you talk about sports, it's like fucking infuriating because you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Shout out to you, Josh, for that.
Really? Does he get really mad?
Well, he was frustrated.
He was frustrated.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry, like, Josh. If someone's talking about Star Wars the wrong way.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm sure that probably happens to Josh too. Josh says he's listening to every episode, which is pretty
cool.
Wow,
that's thank you very much. You know, right now I'm just like, Josh is the man.
Yeah, so it's my mom, my aunt, and him. I know for sure.
My girlfriend listens to it,
and your girlfriend listens. So, all right, all right, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's good because Josh has no obligation to listen to this.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's good.
Our parent, my relatives, and I don't even think my girlfriend listens to it. I don't know.
It's cool.
I'm not going to press her about it, though. You know, she can listen to Cole Porter in the car or whatever on her way to work, whatever the fuck she listens to. You know, I got to say, not that much interesting has happened to me except for those bread baskets I got to raise the bread, to raise my dough for my bread, which was a big thing for me. But I feel like, you know, I feel like I've leveled up in comedy. Like, has it ever happened to you where, like, you feel like you level up?
Yeah.
You know, it's like in the comedy RPG, like, you're just grinding at, like, level 5.
Yeah,
like, finally,
you're still in the forest. Yeah, no,
you kill enough rats. Like, you know, you get 20 XP at a time, and finally you grind, and you leveled up. I feel like
please
I leveled
explain
up.
That. Like, please explain how you leveled up.
I had two things happen comedy-wise that I feel were good. First, I hosted for the first time.
Nice. Oh, I read about that on Facebook.
I hosted for the first time, and I leveled up, quote unquote. I leveled up, and I hosted for the first time. And the leveling up thing, it's like I finally became comfortable with silence, which was good. Because I always used to be like, oh, if they're not laughing, like during the setup, I'm like, if they're not laughing, I would start getting nervous, or like I'd start like rushing through words. Or, try to get them to laugh when I don't need a laugh, or after the punchline if I feel like it didn't land enough, like I'll try to explain it or try to add something to it where nothing needs to be added. Mm-hmm. You know, but like I've finally become comfortable with just that sea of faces looking at me.
Yeah.
And just I'm like cool with it, and like that was tested for sure when I was hosting, because that was a very interesting circumstances, because that show, the show only had 3 comics on it, right?
Okay.
Including me, not including me as the host, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Josh was the headliner, right? Josh Silverman, who I think that is a very, I feel like he's an underappreciated comic.
A very good comic.
Yeah, he's great. I feel like he's underappreciated, though.
I always think of him as an uncool Bill Burr.
An uncool Bill Burr. That's
like,
amazing.
You know how Bill Burr is like, he doesn't tuck his shirt and has 2 buttons open?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Silverman tucks his shirt and has no buttons open. Like, he's an... Like, if you just adjusted the bass on his voice just a little bit, you'd get
Bill
Burr.
Burr. Except, like, with a little more witty references than Bill Burr.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like he's underappreciated. He's probably listening to this right now, actually. So, what's up, Josh? I feel like you're underappreciated. But no, he's great, you know? And, like, I had an opportunity to give him, like, a lot of stage time, so I did. And what happened was that he was at like a family function or something. I don't know exactly what he was at, but he says, I'll get there at 9:30 at the earliest. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, usually the show doesn't start. The show's on the flyer says 8, but the show didn't usually start till 9. Right.
They're real Miami about
except
it.
This time it started 8:30. Right. So like I thought 8:30, like I'm going to give the comics a lot of time. There's not a lot of comics. Right. And I was just like, all right, you guys get like, I'll give you a lot of time, but the first 2 comics, like, they bailed before I didn't even light them, right?
Really?
Because, like, I mean, I guess they just didn't want to do that much time or whatever. So they dipped before I lit them, right? And then, thankfully, Amory Lee was hanging out with us, so I put her up, right?
Nice.
And she was great, and it was funny because she was dressed in, like, her bartender outfit, which was a little more provocative than she usually dresses. And she's like, I know what I look like, guys. I'm going to work. Fuck. I don't always do stand-up like this. And but then Josh still wasn't there, right? Because, you know, he said 8:30 at the earliest, so I figured it'd probably be 8:45. So I had to go up on stage and kill time until he got there. So I was going up on stage not knowing when I would be going down and when he would get there. And so that was an interesting experience. And that's when it really hit home. Like, hey, I wasn't even nervous. Like, I was like, all right, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with just sitting there while everyone's in silence, looking up at me. Like, I just did a lot of, like, I wrote down a list of, like, all these jokes to get through, but I ended up just doing a lot of crowd work. Some jokes that I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm, I was on the fence about them, but I ended up doing them anyway, you know? Like, you know those jokes you're like, oh, I'll get to it eventually, but I have better material I want to do.
Yeah, no, I know like that. That's really good. That's a very good experience to go through.
Yeah.
Like, you're just trying to burn, like, you're trying to burn the oil until, like, man, we get the, we get, and
until Josh walks through the door and I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. That's a very good thing to do. You did level up in comedy, and like being unafraid of silence is a very big thing. I also had, yeah. I had a really big problem where like I was obsessed with like making my whole setup funny.
Yeah.
And then like getting the punchline, but that's not absolutely necessary.
No, it's not. Especially for jokes. For Tim Hamlin gave me some good advice on that. He's like, yeah, you and me, we do, like, because me and Tim can kind of have similar styles in some ways. And he's like, you know, if you're doing jokes like that, that have like a very convoluted premise or like a very, like, it's like heavier, it's like, you know, there's a lot involved in it or whatever. Like, you just need to realize that you're not, a lot of times you're not going to get as big laughs and they're going to be less frequent. And you just got to be comfortable and okay with that. It's the same thing with you, like with your stuff, like your stuff's really smart. So you're not going to, it's not like just, hey, so my girlfriend, bam, oh, girls do that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a very valuable lesson to learn. I was just always plagued with the thought that, like, man, why isn't this getting... Because you want this certain type of laugh, but then you have to realize that you might just be the type of guy that will... The type of person that will get this type of laugh. You're not going to get, like, the huge, humongous laugh all the time. That's one of the aims, but that's not exactly what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Also, depending on what you cover and what you're doing... You're gonna get a certain type of laugh, and that's a very valuable lesson. Being comfortable with silence and knowing that, you know, not all laughs are equal.
So yeah, it was John Wynn was saying that he was closing out some comedy contest thing, like a qualifier, and like the room was just horrible. And he's like, "All right, new comics, you got to be able to be comfortable with silence." And it's true, and that's what I feel like. I kind of learned that, I guess, by, I don't know if it was his advice that made me be comfortable with silence, but I'd finally got to the point where, like, I don't know, it's like, yeah, it's like comedy, the only way you get better, it's like an RPG, because it's like experience points is the only way you get better. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, there's no way to level up. You're only getting experience points when you're up on stage.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like the really loud rooms and the really difficult rooms are like beating a really difficult
boss
monster with a lot you get a lot of EXP, you know?
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. I think it was, who was it? What's this guy's name? Shit. He's a Miami comic, really big now. Has a big beard.
His name's Mike something?
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't know his last name.
Oh, gosh, I wish I could really give him a, like, you know, he's hilarious.
You wish you can give him a Black and Jew bump.
Yeah, Black and Jew bump. You know, once your mom gets listening to him, he's made it.
So whatever, Mike guy.
Mike, yeah. Mike, right?
Another Mike with a beard.
You know, another Mike with a beard. He was talking to my friend Abe, and he was telling him, like, he was at the Supercon, which is a very interesting room to do. Mm-hmm. He was at Supercon, and then he was working at, like, a bar in an anime convention, right? And then he told my friend Abe, he's like, look, if you do all right in a bad place, then you're going to do even better in a good place.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
So, like when you go up on stage and you're like with a really rowdy crowd, I actually had a very interesting experience where I did this this bar called Taurus in the Grove.
Oh yeah, I'm going there on Thursday.
Oh, cool. It's a narrow space. Uh-huh. Only so many people can fit, and it's a bar.
Yeah.
And it's a bar in the Grove. So that
on
all
college night, right?
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's some people talking, and it's very full, it's very crowded, and it's a tiny stage where you're just like right there and there's a red light on you.
Nice.
And that really taught me, I think that was probably my most recent level up situation where like I could just like, okay, I'm gonna let go of the reins here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play around a lot, I'm gonna prance around with this crowd, and then I'm also gonna like go back to my material. And then it's a very interesting thing when you finally get into the groove of like, oh, I'm building a good, I know how to work, do some crowd work now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very valuable to know.
It's like resistance training, doing a difficult room.
Yeah.
You know, it's like strapping a weight around your waist when you do dips with a chain, you know. Yeah, I used to be able to do that. Do you know that? That's how sad I've gotten. When I was in high school, I used to be able to do weighted dips.
Ugh.
I would do dips with like a 35-pound weight, and now I can barely do like 5 dips.
I haven't been to the gym in like maybe 2 years.
2 years. Man, I need to start exercising. Like, I'm like getting a little unhealthy.
I need to
start
exercising.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, I have the skinniest arms ever, man.
Yeah, well, I need to start exercising for different... You'll see when you get older, son. Exercise starts being the thing about it. It ain't vanity, it's for your heart.
Ugh.
Got to start worrying about your health. Mm. Yeah, man, I don't... Like, I whipped out my gut during dinner as a joke. with my family, like, I just was like doing, like, the truffle shuffle or whatever. And my mom's like, you need to lose weight. She's like, and everyone's like, her and my sister are ragging on me, like freaking out, like, you need to lose weight. And it's hard, man, because it's like, I don't know. It's like, after cancer, I know I should be healthier, you know? But at the same time, I just want to enjoy life so bad because I couldn't for so long.
Yeah.
So I feel like I gave myself a cutoff date of September, which is a year after treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And in September, then I'm going to just try to be an aesthetic, but it's not going to work, obviously, but still. It's hard because all my hobbies are like, you know, baking and shit.
Yeah.
Coffee's zero calories. That's a hobby.
Okay. I'm trying to be healthy. I really am. I got health insurance now.
Yeah.
But it's just so damn hard to be healthy. I went to the dentist today.
Nice.
I need to remove my wisdom teeth. That's part of health, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to cost me at least $2,000 to remove all of them. Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Could get a new pair of boobs for that.
Yeah, you can.
In Colombia, I think.
Yeah. Actually, I could probably get a new pair of boobs and remove my wisdom teeth in Colombia. It's real cheap to get your teeth done in Colombia.
We put your teeth, now you have teeth as boobs. No, but I had a friend, when she got breast cancer, she wanted to do her surgery and her treatment in Colombia because, like, apparently the doctors there are really good.
Doctors there are good. My ex-girlfriend would get all her things, like all her medical needs, done in Colombia because it's super cheap. Yeah, they have places where you can get your blood test done in 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah, it's just like, bam, blood test. Here you go. Like,
nice.
Yeah, just
can't
like
do
that.
Here. I don't do that here. I can't do
you,
that. Here.
I can't do that here either.
Dude, I saw this article about a lady like a little while back. She was doing plastic surgery in her house, like Botox and shit. She got arrested. Like, apparently she made her house look like a doctor's office. Like, I feel like that's not something you want your friend to do DIY, you know? This was like in Hialeah or some shit.
Of course it's in Miami. Those stories are always in Miami.
I know.
You never hear about like someone making a shoddy like plastic surgery rig in Ohio.
Yeah.
It's always in Miami. People getting cement in their butt, rubber glue in their butt, like Crayola in their lips. It's
people
God.
Don't, you know, authority. What's that? Who cares? Like, who cares about life? Like, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of people in Miami that. They're from places that, you know, like, you don't trust any sort of authority. So, like, just do everything under the table, you know?
Oh, wait,
This was in Pembroke Pines, Florida, that this happened. Yeah, she got a third-degree felony charge of practicing medicine without a license. She got, big surprise, they were tipped by someone who got an adverse reaction after a Botox injection.
Oh, my gosh. Her mugshot is even in her scrubs.
She's crying. She just got off of work. Her eyes are all puffy and red. She just got off of work. So she converted her garage to look like a doctor's office. That's where I want to get my Botox done, in a garage.
You don't think when you're pulling up and then you see like a fence with a pit bull out in the yard, and then there's a shitty like couch being sold for $60 in the yard as well. And you're like, is this the place where I'm going to get my Botox done? Yeah. Just come in. Why didn't she just make like a nice arts and craft garage like every other person?
Because you can't make like $500 a Botox injection. Look at her house. It's like a nice little suburban house in Pembroke Pines. It's just like any other, you know, townhouse or whatever. And she's doing Botox injections.
Like, how she made
how
her
stupid are you to like I don't understand how people are dumb enough to do like the butt injections and the all this unlicensed surgery, all this stuff, you know? Like, how are you so dumb to do that? Like, Like, why? How can you gamble with your health like that? It's just crazy to me.
That's ridiculous. You okay? So the way this lady got traction, I'm assuming, is that she did it for one woman, and then they're like, "Oh my gosh, yeah. Look at how great you look." Yeah, I know. I just did it in this place, real nice, real cozy, in this woman's house. She's really great, really professional, all clean. She has a great son that runs in and out of the garage. It's perfect. Her husband's great. Just go there. What? No, just stop.
Get a discount.
Yeah, get a discount. Mention me. All right, she'll get you real nice. She, dumb.
That's crazy, man. I've seen people that do like. So one lady had like a dental clinic in her garage, and her garage did not look like a doctor's office. Like it was like gross. It was a gross garage, and like I'm like, how the fuck? How stupid? Like, do you not understand how microorganisms work? Like.
I used to know. I know this girl that got a tattoo at this guy's place.
At his house?
Yeah, like at his house. He just got a tattoo of like...
Like a stick and poke? Or did they use a machine?
Like a stick and poke.
Oh my God. Is she in prison or something? Is this guy's house cell block E?
They made it look like a tattoo parlor. It was all cool.
Afterwards, did he show her how to make a knife out of a toothbrush and plastic?
She gets it. And then she comes the next day. This is back in my high school. She comes the next day and is like, look at my lily. Isn't that a cool lily? I'm like, how'd you... I'm like,
It was horrible, right?
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible.
My friend gave this dude a stick and poke tattoo once at my friend's house. And I'm like, dude, really? Like, you're really doing this? This is the worst thing ever. It was horrific. Like, that's permanent, man.
That's permanent and possibly AIDS-y.
Nah, I don't think this had AIDS. It was like a safety pin that they sterilized, but still, dude. It's like permanent. Like, I don't understand how you could do something permanent, like just like be like, I'll go with a discount route. You know? My God.
Spend the money. Stop doing this to yourselves, people.
Spend a few bucks.
Spend a few bucks. Don't go to a garage.
If you want your wisdom teeth taken out, Reggie, I know a guy.
You know a guy? Hey, yeah. I'll consider that. $1,000? Hell no.
So you got to save the money on for toys and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Got to save up the... I haven't bought a toy in the longest, man.
God, our lives are so uninteresting. Like, what has happened between the last time we podcasted and now? Nothing. Nothing has happened.
Don't say that. Well, whose life is truly interesting?
There's people that do stuff.
But those people look like... They look like a credit card commercial.
What are you talking about? You're making a broad sweeping generalization.
Like, you know how in a credit card commercial, for some reason, the person's like mountain climbing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You sure you're not talking about herpes commercials?
That too. They're also doing interesting things in those.
Climb a mountain.
I think my life is very interesting. It's just that everyone...
I don't agree. I think it's boring. You're boring me with it right now. What? Think about our poor listeners, Reggie. Have to listen to you go on about your stupid heat thing.
What do they want? You just threw a big wrench in the machine right now. Why? Look, how many people really do and truly have interesting lives?
I thought you were going to say how many people really do and truly listen to this podcast.
We have 120 likes on Facebook.
I bet. What percentage of that you think are people that actually listen to the podcast?
75.
I'd say 1%, maybe.
One.
That's what, 1.2 people? Maybe 10%.
14.3.
10%. 10%. 12 people actually listen to it.
12 people actually.
It means a lot to me when they like that, because usually I just ignore people when they invite me to their Facebook page. Unless it's like something important. Like if it was a comic that has their page, I'll like it. But if it's some stupid crap, then I'm like, what even is this? Like, what is this, like a new club opening downtown? Like, why are you inviting me to this? I don't
Black
care.
And Jew, is this a new club?
I can't talk, though. I forever am not allowed to complain about that, because I used to work at a club and I would have to send out invites to all my friends every week for the three events that we had. So, I mean, it doesn't really bother me that much. Like, the Candy Crush invites, all that crap, I don't really care.
Yeah, you just ignore that.
Like, it's not that much of an inconvenience. I just am like, oh, I didn't get a comment. I didn't get a like. I'm so upset.
Ugh. I think... Like, I don't really think that a lot of people have very, like, interesting lives. Who do you want to... Do you want to talk to the guy? Do you want to have the guy that went on a safari on the podcast?
Not that, but maybe, like, they went to a Renaissance fair. I don't know.
I went to a Renaissance fair.
Maybe last week. I don't know.
I went to a Renaissance fair.
It's like, no, but neither of us have jobs.
This is exactly
neither of us have jobs.
These are the only people that can podcast. People that don't have jobs.
There's plenty of people. Well, I guess, yeah, that's why there's so many comedians podcast, because they're stand-ups and they got a free during the weekdays.
Oh, gosh. I just, you know what? Maybe 15's where we end it. Because we're not interesting enough.
We ran out of things to say. We're like librarians.
No. We got things to say.
Let's go to articles. You want to go to articles?
I wasn't scared, but you're scared. So scared of what? I'll help you.
Scared of what?
Let's go to articles, Mike.
Scared of what?
Let's go to articles.
What am I scared of, Reggie?
Did you know that like Justin Bieber might go to my high school's
prom?
Whoa.
Chill. What am I scared of?
Nah, you're scared of silence right now.
I'm scared of silence?
You're scared of silence.
Well, you can't be silent on a podcast. That is one place you can't be silent.
Yeah, but see, like, podcast silence is very different.
Because yeah, podcast silence aware. Can't be more than a millisecond.
Yeah, because you're very aware that, like, you can't be silent. So,
no, you can't.
Like, even right now, we're really, you know, trying not to be silent.
I feel like we don't argue enough on the podcast.
We don't argue enough?
No.
We're way too similar.
We don't bicker enough. Yeah, we're way too similar. We need a wild card. We need like an ignorant. We need like a member of the,
you need an ignorant.
We need like a member of the KKK on the podcast or something like that. Like a member of the KKK and a member of like a neo-Nazi. And that would like really balance us out. You know?
That'd be an interesting dynamic. We could find both those things, probably in the same person.
I could be like, black people are people, and they'd be like, wait a second. No, they are not.
Maybe we should just be like we're great together. We're great together. I believe that very wholeheartedly. We're great together.
And that sounds so strange.
That's because I'm doing this thing with my hand. The listeners can't see it.
Okay.
And I think we're also great, like, with company.
Yeah.
Like, we're amazing with company. So we should just, like, always have someone over.
You sound like you're applauding our ability to throw a dinner party as a gay couple.
Yeah, that's an amazing ability. I don't see what's wrong with
that. You're like, we're great together, but we're also great with company.
Yeah, we are great with company. You bring them, you wine them and dine them. We bring them here. We joke. Hey, what do you think about this? Oh my gosh, yes. Then we go on. Bam, fantastic.
Booze and schmooze them.
Yeah.
You know, I had a dinner party the other night.
You had it? See? Interesting life. Go ahead. Show me.
Super interesting. But like, Christine gets a little overboard sometimes. So she chooses these like fucking insane recipes. Like she made scallops that like require its own separate sauce, right? We had beets, a salad, right? Like, oh, it's a salad. But then you had to roast the beets for the beet salad. And then we had a mushroom risotto. And before you could even make the risotto, you had to make a mushroom stock. So, like, I had to, like, chop up all these carrots and onions and then throw in the mushrooms and clean them and all this shit before you even had the base for the fucking... And then she made, like, what was it? What the fuck are they called? Sangria? But it was like with like champagne, not champagne, but like a Spanish version of it. I don't know the name of it. It starts with an M, like Muscat. I don't know. And like grappa. And then but then it involves like putting melon balls in it. So like she had to get a melon baller and then ball out like cantaloupe and just to make this. So it was like this insane. And we used like every dish in our house. And then like it was like cleaning for an hour and a half the next day. It was insane.
What the hell?
And we were making bread at the same time too.
Why?
Why?
Yeah,
because I don't know. She goes a little overboard sometimes. I told her, I'm like, look, next time I got to approve the menu. Okay,
honey, this is too much.
Yeah,
it was run it by me.
No, it's great that she does it, and I appreciate it.
She's a fantastic cook.
But for her sake, yeah, she is a fantastic cook. But for her sake, her sanity. You got to rein it in a little bit. Reel it in a little bit.
Like, she cooks real food. Like, yeah. No one in my house cooks. Yeah. And the very few times we do, it feels like a poor impression of actual cooking.
So but, how does the food situation work at your house then?
We cook. We either eat out or we have breakfast.
So, like, they'll cook breakfast.
Yeah, we'll only cook. And the few times we actually do have lunch or dinner, it's like... you know, it's
so everyone fends for themselves at dinner.
Yeah, Yeah, we're like, where are you going? You're going to McDonald's? Okay, can I go to McDonald's with you? Hey, we're going to McDonald's. All right, you want to make it easy for everybody? You all want to go to McDonald's? We all go to McDonald's. That's how that works. Dinner. That's my dinner.
How the fuck are you so skinny?
Maybe I'm just used to it. Like,
just wait till you like you start approaching 30. And then,
oh my gosh, everybody tells me that.
Just wait, dude.
I'm. You know what I had today? Shit, you're right. We are boring. I was going to say, I had two fudge gingerbread cookies.
God, this is like the worst episode that we've had so far. Such a shitty episode.
No, I think
this is... I apologize, Black and Jew listeners.
I just feel our likes going down.
We're at 119.
We're 119.
We already established that the people who liked it didn't listen to the podcast.
I invited all my friends, and hopefully that we got one message from one of my friends, and then she said, like, I love this.
Yeah, I responded. I was so happy.
Oh, you did? You responded? I didn't respond.
I'm like, good. I'm like, thanks. You're awesome. Or some shit like that.
Someone hit, like, a friend of mine, Nell. Hey, shout out to Nell. Uh-huh. She's a very good listener. She's fantastic.
She's a good listener.
She's a very good listener.
I come to her with my problems. she's a great listener.
She's a devout listener. She's a fan of the show. Uh-huh. She loves the show. She loves the show. Yeah.
What's up, Nell?
Yeah.
We're going to send you a free Black and Jew t-shirt when we make them.
If we
make Black and Jew t-shirts, which might be at some point in the future or not some point in the future,
right?
You will get one now. And I will hold you to that. So just tweet at Black and Jew Pod and tell us your size.
And tell your friends.
Yeah,
don't tell them about the t-shirts. Tell your friends.
About
the podcast.
And just tweet us with your size because you deserve it, Nell. Yeah. For listening to us.
She's listened to every episode.
Josh Silverman gets a t-shirt too.
Oh yeah, that's right.
If he's still listening. I don't know if anyone's still listening at this point.
You know, this hasn't come out yet.
Huh?
You're talking as if like we're streaming this live to people.
In the future.
In the future.
You know,
it's like Black and Jew really went
down. It's like if the person who's listening at this point, right? Good for you if you're listening to this, because I would have tuned out. I would have turned it off a little while ago if I was not me.
Wow, no confidence.
No confidence.
You need to tighten up, Mike. Tighten up. Look, real shit, though.
Can't tighten it up. You did
the truffle shuffle at dinner. Yeah, you can't tighten it up. Real shit, though. Justin Bieber might go to my high school's prom.
Nice.
Yeah. And, like, he's dating this girl who's...
Are you going to fuck him after prom?
Maybe. I think he's real easy.
Okay.
Like, he's dating this girl who's an Instagram model.
Yeah.
And she has, like, about a hundred...
Justin Bieber's dating a girl who's an Instagram model?
Yeah.
That is, like, the most fucking 2014 couple. The future is now.
I'm a model because of Instagram, and I'm dating Justin Bieber.
I'm going to look her up.
You can look her up. So, anyway, she has, like, maybe, I think, 100,000... followers, maybe 200,000, I don't know. But there's a big thing whether he's gonna actually be at the prom or not. The principal released a statement where, like, we have not yet confirmed whether Justin Bieber will be at the prom, but that's left
her name's up. Giovanna Ventura. They look like a lesbian couple. I don't understand why people care so much about Justin Bieber. I don't fucking get it. Like, just who gives a shit about him? You know?
My school's coming up. Can't you be happy for him, Mike?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Shouts out to Miami High. You're getting the Biebs. You know, really rock that shit.
She's pretty cute.
Yeah.
She's all right. She's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's happening.
Hey, she's in Miami. Look at that. Good for you.
Look, she's in Miami.
I'm unenthused. Unimpressed.
Unimpressed?
He's fucking with an Instagram model. So he's going to go to your prom? With a girl?
You say that in the kindest way where you're like, all right, let me throw him a wish. Let me throw him a bone. And then like there's this really like neatly like tucked sarcasm right under there.
Why is there sarcasm? Why do you think there's sarcasm? Just because I'm a Jew? You fucking anti-Semitic piece of shit.
Is this really where you want to take this?
Yeah.
You know, I've had a problem with you since episode one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disgusting.
I feel like things are getting pretty serious and we need to bury this issue before I put a podcast ring on it.
Podcast ring on it?
Yeah. It's in the shape of, it's a thumb drive.
See, you put it in the triple digits. It's 015, uh-huh. right? And I'm just here to chill, Mike.
I get attached very easily.
I'm That's just here to chill. What do you want?
I've toned it down. All right, the last podcast, it was 4 digits. I'm like, this is going to be going on forever.
Oh, fuck.
To 9999. 9999. 9999. So, wait, that is, but like, now that I'm really thinking about it, that is pretty fucking crazy that I was thinking about going to your prom. With who?
With, like, just, like, it is like just some girl. Like this girl, like has garnered enough like notoriety to like attract the satellite.
She doesn't have like cancer or anything.
No, she doesn't. She's just really hot.
So wait, Giovanna Garcia is from your school?
Yeah.
Oh, so the Instagram model goes to your school?
Yeah.
Is in high school still?
Yeah.
And he wants to go to prom with her.
Yeah,
because he's having sex with an underage girl.
No. She's a senior. She's 18.
Okay.
Yeah, and he just might go to the prom.
That is fucking crazy. I thought what happened was that he was dating her, and then on the side he was going to prom like out of the goodness of his heart with some girl.
No. He's going to prom with this girl. There's no girl with like a cancer getting helped out.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Got a little hopeful. Justin, I love how this title of this article from the Mirror. Who is Giovanna Ventura? 11 things you need to know. I think need is very misused in that situation. No one needs to know anything about her.
You don't need to know.
Except maybe her doctor.
I don't know how you could find 11 things to know about this woman. How can you like get 11 things? I can
so
barely...
She's from Miami Senior High. Wow, look at that. She's pretty cute.
I can barely get 11 things to know that you should know about me. How did the Mirror find 11 things to know about her?
All right, let's see what these 11 things are. Her name is Giovanna Karen Ventura. All right, if you put your name as number one, you're stretching.
You put the name in the title. Yeah. You can't give me that one. You put it in the title.
Number two, she's 18, 2 years younger than Bieber.
Oh. That's just, I could go to Wikipedia.
She studied at Miami Senior High. So fun fact, 20 minus 18 is 2. She's fluent in Spanish as well as English. People in the UK don't understand that. How much. Her Facebook says she's signed to Elite Model Management. I think my friend used to work for them. She used to like to do events and stuff. But I think that's like, they're not like models. They're like, they pass out Grey Goose at events. Her profile isn't listed on the agency's website. Oh, scandal. But I can't do this anymore. All right,
this needs to stop.
Yeah,
this needs to stop.
We're done. And this girl's. Oh, look, she's doing squats. Lovely.
Who? What Instagram model isn't doing squats?
Jen, she's like the Hispanic Jen Stelter. All right, do you want to do an article that's substantial now?
Yes, let's do an article. Let's do that's
it.
Substantial.
All right, this is fucking insane. All right, you're gonna have to talk about the cornerstone of this article because I can't say these words. All right. Do you know want to hear something really fucked up that's going to fuck with your childhood? Do you know what the original title, you know the ice cream song? Like, like, you know the ice cream song?
Yeah, the ice cream tune, the jingle.
Read what the original title of that song is.
Oh, shit. Wait, okay. Shit, damn.
I can't read it. You got to read it.
Well, let me read the editor's note. This article is about a virulently racist song. Read no further if you wish to avoid racist imagery and slurs. Okay, so the title of the song, damn, yo, this is, it feels like it feels like a spiderweb's in my mouth.
Okay, say it.
Okay, the title of the song is Nigger Love a Watermelon. Ha ha ha.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
Okay, you know, okay, it's crazy, but I'm saying it now, and it's someone composed this song, and it's like, what should I title it? I got it, Nigger Love a Watermelon. What is this?
That's insane, right? Yeah, like, apparently, it's based off of, like, an old English folk song. It's based off of a song that's based off an old English folk song, but the way that it got... It spread around America was through like a traveling minstrel show. And this, oh God, this is going to really ruin your childhood. All right. It was there's a guy named Zip Coon. All right, he was the urban equivalent of Jim Crow, right? Because like Jim Crow, you know, Jim Crow laws named after a character in a minstrel show, right? And it was spread through this show, so then it just became a favorite song. And do you know what song is named after Zip Coon? That's about Zip Coon. This will fuck with you. Zippity doo da, zippity day. What a wonderful day.
Damn.
Yeah. Yes.
So you mean a bunch of little black kids that went to Disney World for the first time and they're on that ride are just like, they're like singing zippity doo da. And it's for Zip Coon?
For Zip Coon. That's the zip in the zippity doo da.
Zip Coon is by far the worst name I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Zip Coon.
Oh my god, that's so horrible.
Yeah, so that song is a fucking racist ass song.
So all across America, a bunch of ice cream trucks are playing like the instrumental for Nigger Love a Watermelon.
Yes.
Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, that hits you right in the racism right there.
That is by far the worst like song title ever. Not because no. I'm attacking the worst song title not because of racism. That's an obvious one, but just because how very uncreative that was.
Yeah,
like
be creative with the racism. Read the lyrics. Read the chorus right here. I feel like this is I feel like kind of weird. I'm like, all right, yeah. Listen, Negro, read this.
Read this.
Sing this along. Sing along.
And I'm like, he's my friend. I can read these. Okay.
Faster, boy. You want that watermelon we got? It's organic.
Nigger love a watermelon. Ha, 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 ha. What? Twice? Okay. Yeah. Nigger love a watermelon. Ha, 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 ha. For they're made with a half a pound of...
No idea what that is.
Made with half a pound of coal. There's nothing like a watermelon for a hungry coon. That doesn't even rhyme. What the fuck? That's... Oh my gosh.
Isn't that insane?
Do you think the very first ice cream man was just insanely racist?
Maybe. He's like, yeah, I like this song.
Woo!
And he only sold watermelon ice cream. He's like, I love the irony. Yeah,
he just pops it. He just pops the piano wheel into this old timey like self playing piano. Ooh, got the new Columbia. Nigga love a watermelon.
Now that's what I call music -1.
Now, the racist mixtape.
How fucking insane is that?
That's really insane.
When I read that, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I hear that song all the time too. My neighborhood's one of those neighborhoods where like the ice cream man frequents. So, man, I'm a whoop that racist asshole's ass.
You gotta talk to him about that.
I gotta talk to him. Excuse me, sir.
It's like, who loves a watermelon? Excuse me, son. You know what that song is, right?
You know what that song. I don't. Do you think like there'll be a petition to change that song? Like, is there like an ice cream man union?
Ice cream man union. I don't think so. I don't think they're that organized.
They're not that organized.
Originally, there's another song called Tumbleweed in the Straw. It's like one of those American folk songs that's been around forever, you know? And there's a song called like Tumbleweed in the Straw. I think this is the name of it. If I'm not mistaken. Turkey in the Straw is what it's called. It's like dun 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 dun. Now you're like upset when I sing it. You're like, stop it. The hatred of my forefathers. Like I get upset whenever I hear German polka bands.
Why did I sound so wispy and like, stop it. The hatred of my forefathers.
Yeah, zippity doo dah was derived from. Oh, zip-a-dun-doo-dah-dun-zip-a-dun-dah. It's like fucked up. Mm-hmm. And like I watched the video online of like Zip-a-dun-doo-dah, right? And it's just like this old black dude in overalls singing with like all these like little
like shucking and jiving.
Yeah, like just singing. He's like walking down with all these like animated birds and stuff. Okay. And I'm like, fuck, this feels fucked up now. Like, like in that context, like in the other context, like, oh, it's a nice old black guy just walking down the street whispering. And now I'm like, oh, shit, this is like something that belongs on the KKK's website or something. It's fucking crazy, dude. That really fucked with me, man. I'm like, we have to talk about this on the Black and Jew podcast. You're going to go to sleep just like tossing in your sheets. It's like, zip it and doodah, zip it and day.
No. I'm never buying an ice cream for my niece and nephew.
Oh, my God. You never mind ice cream. Ice cream is racist, people.
Just all ice cream.
It's just like a jab. Like the KKK keeps distributing ice cream. It's just like a jab at people. Their hoods are upside down ice cream cones.
That's where the KKK really got their start. It started with the small ice cream, you know, owners, and then you know it built up, and that's where like
slowly they spread it.
Do you think like maybe? Are ice cream trucks really celebrated in really racist neighborhoods?
Maybe.
Or like they play
when they're like the ice cream man's here.
Where when they know they're in the real neighborhood where it's safe, they flip on the lyrics.
Yeah.
On top of the music.
We only get there's too many black people in our neighborhood to get anything but the instrumental version. In the really racist neighborhoods, they just do the a cappella version. No melody, no excuses. I saw this video, which was amazing. All right. It was this preacher giving a speech. Okay. About gay rights. It was in Springfield, Illinois, Springfield somewhere. I forget which Springfield it is. And there was a law that was going to pass, about classifying gay people, like putting them under protection. That's, you know, that's reserved for races. You know, like, oh, you can't discriminate against on race, gender, and then they want to add gay people. So this preacher gave a speech, and he was let me read parts of it from you. He says, any accurate reading of the Bible should make it clear that gay rights goes against the plain truth of the word of God. But making special rights for gays and lesbians has taken another step in the direction of inviting the judgment of God upon our land. Denial of all we believe in, and no one should force it on us. It's not what we don't care about homosexuals. It's that our rights will be taken away and unchristian views will be forced upon us and our children, for we will be forced to go against our personal morals. When you go against God's established order, you create destruction. Our city is in the greatest danger it has ever been in. And he goes, you see the right of... And then like he pauses. He's like, you see the right of segregation... Wait, what's this? The right of segregation is clearly established by the Holy Scriptures, both by precept and example. So the guy took, like word for word, he took arguments in the 50s against segregation and just replaced it with gay rights, right? And it was just, like, the speech was, it was beautiful. It was amazing. Cause, you know, you hear this shit and you're like, wow, this guy's like a crazy Christian dude. Yeah. Like that's a ridiculous argument. Like any person who's not racist but against gay rights would probably be like, yeah, that's ridiculous. Who would say that? We've moved on as Christians. And then it's like, no, but you haven't. Cause, or they'd agree with it and be like, yeah, we could apply that to, but isn't that really funny? Like I'll send you a link to the video. It's really good.
Oh, please do.
I think the title of it, I forget the title. It's just look it up. Official preacher Phil Snyder gives interesting gay rights speech. It's awesome. Like, because you watch and you're like, this guy's an asshole. And then he actually finishes it and it's like super powerful. I totally didn't. I robbed it of all power by repeating it on the Black and Jew podcast. But it's amazing, you know? It's crazy how hatred just takes different forms. They always want someone to hate, you know?
They always want somebody to hate. Ah, man. So, okay. So just so I get it clear, this guy used actual like quotes from the 50s. For segregation.
A religious argument against segregation.
Against.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait. Against segregation.
Against segregation. And then just put gay rights into there.
Yeah, instead.
And we're all like a Mad Lib. He just like.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Religious ones against segregation.
He said that segregation would be another stepping stone of the immorality and lawlessness that will be characteristic of the last days. Segregation. But replaced it with gay rights. It's pretty cool how he did that, I think.
That's very cool. Damn. Nice to see. You see, you know, you always get an image of the preacher that's crazily against it, you know?
Yeah.
You never get that one preacher that, you know, is like, guys, come on.
We're not against it.
We're not against it.
I read an interesting opinion about homosexuality in the Bible from the Oxford Classical Dictionary. And they say that homosexuality as we know it today did not exist back then, so it would be impossible to write about homosexuality in the current context of two consenting male or female adults, same-sex adults, having a monogamous relationship. Because back then, homosexuality meant having sex with gay prostitutes while you're married or having sex with little boys or whatever. It was never just like two people living in a monogamy. That didn't exist. Like the entire idea of gay people as a different section of society, like there's heterosexual people and there's homosexual people, did not exist. So any argument based on scripture against gay people, it does not hold its weight, and it doesn't, you can't make an argument based on scripture.
Yeah. What I had read one time was like, I was like reading through like some, I have very little understanding of the Bible.
Yeah.
So if anyone, please check me. You know what? In fact, yeah, please do check me. But what I had read one time was like the part that people usually cite where like people say like, oh, God, something, something, abomination.
Yeah.
That's actually just like, it's really twisted. Mm-hmm. What God was punishing were people that were going against their basic, like against their nature.
Yeah.
Which was like they were doing it to spite God. Not yeah. because they were that thing. It was because they saw God and wanted to spit in his face.
Yeah.
So they were just having sex.
So they spit in a guy's butthole instead.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, perfect. No, that's excellent. That's exactly what happened. So like to spit on God's face, I will spit in this man's butthole.
Yeah.
And then I'll finger it, lick it, and then toss this out of the real well. Take that, Dios.
But then couldn't you argue that that if God didn't approve of homosexuality in the first place, then that could be interpreted as it's wrong according to the Bible.
Well, see, yeah, that's what people get twisted. But what I'm trying to say here is that,
yeah.
in fact, God wasn't angry at homosexuals. He yeah. was angry at people that were going against just their own nature to make him angry.
Oh, yeah, interesting. That's weird.
Like that.
It's like sucking a guy's dick and being like, "I'll show you, Dad."
Yeah, exactly. I'm not. Yeah. Are you really gay? No, I'm not. I just want to show my dad like I hate him.
So if you suck a dick and you like it.
Yeah.
And like, that's what you want to do for the rest of your life. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Gotcha.
From my poor explanation, that's exactly what that passage is about. Yeah. It's about like, it's this really like hedonistic town or whatever, this village.
Yeah.
Or like this city or whatever, this town. And like, God hated that place.
Sodom, right?
I think so.
Sodom or Gomorrah, one of them.
I think so. So anyway, in that place, that's where like apparently the gay stuff was happening. But yeah. That's not the case.
That's not the context. And I think it's just general hedonism too.
Yeah.
You know?
Just
like there's nothing in the Bible about having, like if you look at all the passages about gay people, it's always in the context of debauchery. No one says anything about in the Bible about two gay people being in love.
Because
that didn't exist. Breakfast. That didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
According to the Oxford Classical Dictionary, but you know, who knows what those people, you might as well be writing on a blog. And it's not like they look into it a lot or anything, but I wouldn't trust them as an authority. But you know, that like according to them, like it doesn't even exist. So like, how could that be a commentary? Like, but why do people they're so insistent about hating gay people? Like, why are they? I think it's like the segregation thing. It's like, why do you hate black people? Like, why are you so insistent that this is wrong? Like, why can't you just be open to the idea that maybe black people are people too?
What really gets me, and this always gets me, is like the real why. You know how you can just ask, why do you hate it? No, I'm talking about like really why. Like why? Like what is it, man? I want to sit down with you and really unpack this. Yeah. Why do you hate them? Like, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about like, dude, that guy's crazy. Why? No, I'm talking about like why? Like really sitting like I want him on the Black and Jew podcast right here and just as long as this episode needs to go, why? And then we just like, you know, we start feeding him like
there's everything. No way they know,
like that's what no. I always think
no because like, you're not you gotta be you gotta not you just have to think something without really analyzing it or will not being willing to analyze it in order to feel that
me
way
the human ability to do that, to just say yeah. Nice. I'm just gonna, no, I don't care. I like what I like. I hate what I hate, and I like what I like.
A lot of people are really close-minded like that. They're not open to new things.
I just can't imagine. Maybe it's because I'm so open-minded. No, and maybe it's because, like, you know, I'm around people.
And you're not an idiot, Reggie. A lot of these people are really stupid. They're dumb. Like, you want to say, like, I respect your religious beliefs. It's like, no, you're really dumb and really gullible, and you don't question anything in your life. You're just a moron. Like, that's a lot of it. Really stupid.
Maybe it's just me and I can't accept that. You know, anytime some, like, people are just dumb.
Yeah. But that's, unfortunately, that's the case sometimes. Sometimes it's not, though. Sometimes you have people, I couldn't imagine someone being intelligent and not believing in gay marriage, but you have people that are, like, not totally, they're not, like, brick dumb, you know? They're not, like, rock dumb, but, like, they don't understand, they just are so comfortable in what they believe that they can't go outside the box. They can't imagine a world where anything's different, where they believe something different, you know?
Damn.
It's very close-minded, you know?
I was on this, I was scrolling through my Facebook feed, which is never a good thing to do.
No, of course not.
And I stop because this guy on my Facebook feed, he's an insane Republican.
Like, yeah.
No, I'm not taking shots at Republicans. I'm just saying, like, this kid... Like he's
insane, and he's also a Republican.
Yeah, like he has like these weird, like really right, uh-huh. like right of center like views. And one of the pages he liked was literally called "Secular Reason for No Gay Marriage."
Secular reason for no gay marriage?
Wait, secular is religious or non-religious?
Non-religious.
Non-religious. Yeah, secular reason for no gay marriage.
Wow.
Yeah, like I didn't.
Did you look at the page?
I went to the page, and it's just a bunch of people that like, yeah. See, I'm not religious, but I don't want gay marriage. Look it up, but like I'm
They might need to know what the word reason is. The secular case against gay marriage. Huh. I don't know. This is long.
Yeah, this is very. But like there was a whole Facebook page and he liked it. And that really got me because one, I can't think. Oh, you got it?
Why are the statistics being so homophobic and intolerant? Same-sex marriage should not be endorsed by the government because the government is not in the business of endorsing relationships that do not provide benefits to society. That is not the role of government. Traditional marriage provides significant benefits to society, and that should be encouraged. Same-sex marriage does not provide those benefits to society, but in fact hurts those who participate in it. Inside, I can't read the rest of this. These people are morons.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, the way I found that video of that preacher guy was I was on a thread on Reddit that was like anti-gay people of Reddit. Why do you not like gay people? Or like, why are you not for gay marriage? You know? And like, of course, the ones that were for gay marriage got upvoted to the top because people on Reddit are morons and downvote things, even though, because the downvote and upvote thing on Reddit is for things that contribute to the discussion, not things you disagree with. Like, you don't downvote something because you disagree with it. But the Reddit hive mind is like, I downvote that because, you know, a lot of people are not religious on Reddit. But if you sort it by controversial, which means like a lot of upvotes, a lot of downvotes, you can find people and their reasoning, and they just seem like really hateful people or really stupid people. Like, I found the people that are really, the ones that are really against gay marriage are, they usually have the most spelling errors. So they just seem like they're not smart or like they don't understand, like they just can't possibly comprehend anything outside of their myopic viewpoint. And that's just what it is. It's like with black people, like with racism and segregation, it's like, I believe, just because I believe, you know, that black people and white people shouldn't go to the same schools because black people are lesser human beings. Like, that just, they cannot believe anything different. And they're not willing to change their mind.
That's crazy.
Like, you ever had a point in your life where, like, you thought one thing and then, like, you got some information on something and you're like, dude, my mind is blown. Like, I was totally wrong about this the entire time.
Yeah, constantly.
Well, these people are in that state, that before state. Right?
Yeah.
And they're completely unwilling to get into that after state. And they don't understand that it's hatred, you know? And I think that's such a good parallel. I like to draw the parallel between civil rights and desegregation and the gay issue, because you could see literally they're using the same exact arguments for keeping segregation alive, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. People, it's just a different issue. It's just they hate a class of people. And I feel like if you hate people, you can get people on your side, you know? So it's like the conservative Christians can get them to vote for conservative Christian politicians by creating this enemy in gay people, you know? If that makes any sense.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Very well put.
Because you can't just like rally, like, we believe this positively. It's like, let's go against somebody, because hatred really gets people together.
No, yeah, totally. Well, very well put, Mike. Damn.
So you think Justin Bieber's going to take that girl to prom?
I think so.
You think so?
I think so. He, come on, man. It's Justin. He has to go. Wouldn't it be so cool if Justin just went to like a high school prom?
That'd be awesome. That'd be insane. Like they'd have to get like secure, like so much security.
Right?
It would totally change the entire structure of the high school prom.
Right? It would. People would have to get patted down. Well, actually, no, wait. People still get patted down. Never mind. Yeah.
At high school, regular high school, Miami high school proms?
Yeah.
was that school rough?
No. High? No, it wasn't.
That's where Christine's parents went, I think.
Oh, that's cool. No, it wasn't rough. I'm just playing. It wasn't rough.
Metal detectors for Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber gets stabbed at Miami high school prom.
Yo, that'd be crazy.
Because he's going to have like a bunch of security guards if he goes to.
Oh, yeah, he will. He doesn't want to be touched by the plebs.
By the what?
By the plebs.
By the plebs. I mean, I could totally see someone like in a prom in Miami, someone just trying to beat the shit out of him.
Yo, for that'd sure. be crazy.
That's going to happen.
That's going to...
Like, unless he brings a bunch of his bodyguards, it's going to happen.
Man, Justin Bieber gets his ass whipped by Miami High. You know, that'll be the thing that puts my school on the map.
Not the academics.
Fuck being an A school. No, I don't want the little, like, you know, the little light board to say, now we're an A school.
Yeah.
No, I want, like... school that took down Justin Bieber. That'd be great.
Oh, God. That'd be pretty funny. That would put your school on the map.
I would.
First school to beat down Justin Bieber. All right, so you want to wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up. Yeah. By the way, I want to keep on podcasting with you.
I want to keep on podcasting with you, Randy.
Not every episode.
I should turn up the gain so they can hear us sexually and low. I'm whispering.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Podcasting.
Black and Jew Podcast.
Where can they find you, Reggie?
You guys can find me at...
Where's that? Where can they find you?
Where can they find me? You can find me at Twitter, at Ratchet_Reggie.
Oh, that's nice.
And then you can find me on Instagram.
Okay.
At Black Dadaist.
I like that.
Yeah. Where can they find you, Mike?
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Marionoff, on Facebook, Mike Marionoff, facebook.com/Mike Marionoff Comedy. And you can find me on YouTube, on youtube.com/litterboxcomedy. That's where I put all my sketches.
Nice. They're brilliant sketches, by the way. You have some really good stuff right there.
Yeah. Reggie's not just saying that.
No,
trust me.
I'm legit, like, not just saying that.
He's mad at me right now, so.
I am honest. Like, if you could only see how serious I was, like, speaking as a consumer
of comedy.
People
would look at you and be like, que serio.
Que serio. Speaking as a consumer of comedy, it's a very good, he has some very good sketches.
Awesome. All right, guys. So until next time.
Until next time.